Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
But we begin with the so-called Islamic State, close to losing control of Ramadi in Iraq. Now, Ramadi is just 55 miles from Baghdad, and since May, it's been the southernmost town in Iraq under ISIS control. It's the capital of Anbar province, the site of many, many battles during the Iraq War. The Iraqi government and its American backers have considered retaking Ramadi a major objective. But the apparent victory that's close at hand here, taking back Ramadi, is colored by a lot of complexities, the first of which is the question of who is taking back Ramadi. In April, I spoke to Vice Correspondent David Enders. He had just returned from the Sunni city of Ramadi. Even then, he said locals were concerned about Shia fighters entering the city.
That dynamic with having the very obviously sectarian militias that are fighting on behalf of the Iraqi government present in Ramadi, and some of them are present in Anbar already, backing up what the Iraqi army, quote-unquote, which often their units have a very open sectarian bent as well.
Again, that was back in April, and that worry that Shiite militias would punish Sunni civilians in Ramadi may now be a real risk. When another Iraqi city, Tikrit, was wrenched back from the Islamic State last spring, Shiite units were accused of atrocities there. So far, the United States has insisted that no Shiite militia fighters are taking part in the offensive for Ramadi. Instead, the mission is being hailed as an opportunity for the U.S.-trained government forces and Sunni Iraqi soldiers to win an important victory and prove that the Iraqi army, controlled from Baghdad, can fight and win. But many observers are highly skeptical of that claim, and among them, Michael Pregent. He's an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute and a former U.S. Army intelligence officer in Iraq. He served as an intelligence advisor to General David Petraeus there. Michael Pregent, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are counted as one of the severe skeptics, I would say, of the claim that no Shiite militias have joined the Iraqi army in the fight for Ramadi. Why all the doubt?
Well, the Iraqi army was a sectarian force a year ago, and I don't see what moderating event took place to change that dynamic at all. If you look at the photos used by the Wall Street Journal today to talk about the Ramadi offensive, there are Shia flags in the column. There are clearly militia in that formation of vehicles getting ready to go into Ramadi. The very concern that Sunnis have to begin with is that Shia militia will decide what happens in Ramadi after it's cleared. I understand there are 6,000 Sunnis in there, but you have to understand how this works. There are 6,000 Sunni, but the Shia militia popular mobilization unit structure will have primacy over those fighters.
Michael Pregent, it's hard to, of course, tease out individual fighters, who they're fighting for, and where their loyalties really lie. But one thing that's for sure is that when the coalition building and the fight against ISIS started, it was really assumed from the beginning that a patchwork of Shia militias from all over Iraq, from different cities with different loyalties, were going to be part of the coalition joining with the government that fought against the Sunni ISIS force, and that their backing by Iran was going to be a factor here. I mean, everybody's known this all along, right?
Yes, and we know it to this day. The Pentagon, the White House, and State Department will acknowledge that Shia militias are in Baghdad. They're in Fallujah. They'll say that the Fallujah is actually a Shia militia operation. They'll admit that they're in Karma, which is just to the east of Ramadi.
All right, Michael Pregent, but it also seems like Baghdad may have an important incentive here. Whether there are members of Shiite militias fighting inside or alongside the Iraqi army here or not, and I think we agree that there probably are, if they retake Ramadi from ISIS and the battle is won, it seems like Baghdad has an important incentive to prevent the kind of atrocities and revenge killings that you're talking about. And if they can do that, it could be a real proof of concept.
Baghdad isn't a rule of law government. I'm sorry to say that. Prime Minister Abadi, under immense pressure, he is under immense pressure from Shia militias in Iran. He turned down a special operations package and an Apache 64 package that Secretary Ash Carter was going to present to Iraq. He turned it down because the Shia militias didn't want it. Prime Minister Abadi says all the right things until he's pressured not to. all of his actions are based on the influence of Shia political parties, militias, and Iran. We've had 18 months to build a Sunni force to retake Mosul. We have not. We had 18 months of warning that Ramadi was going to fall. Prime Minister Abadi did nothing to stop that from happening.
Well, as forces move to try to retake Ramadi in Iraq from the Islamic State, the world is watching to see the aftermath of that battle and whether Iraqi forces, along with or including Shiite militias, can win the battle without resorting to human rights violations. Michael Pregent, former U.S. military intelligence officer and advisor to David Petraeus, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you.